Tarot Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us. Today we're going to be speaking with Dawn Chapman, the Westlake mom, one of the Westlake moms out in St. Louis. Actually, she's not on the phone right now. I called her up and they're on their road to the capital of Missouri to deal with something in regards to their issue. And she asked me to give them a call back in a few minutes. They were on the road, just about to get off and take a break because it is quite a ways from St. Louis to the capital of Missouri. And this is just an indication of one of the things that the Westlake moms have to deal with, the people of St. Louis have to deal with. I thought what I'd do before I called her back was talk to you about how long this community has known about this. I went to newspapers.com. And I found, I think, what was the first newspaper article in the Dispatch, what's it called, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which frankly is an awesome newspaper. These people have been covering this for, well, since 1979. Oh, actually, 1976, May 30th, 1976, this was discovered. I believe this is the earliest newspaper reporting that I can see. And it was written by Margaret W. Freevogel. The title of it, it begins with, a St. Louis area construction firm has dumped several thousand tons of low-level radioactive waste in a St. Louis County landfill under circumstances that confused federal authorities about the strength and location of the waste, a Post-Dispatch study shows. Although there was no evidence that the dumping resulted in a health hazardous, that's because they weren't looking, state officials say the incident illustrates serious deficiencies in the federal program to monitor low-level radioactive material. How can highly radioactive uranium be low-level radioactive material? The firm, B&K Construction, which sold it to now Republic Services, deposited about 73,000, deposited in 1973 about 9,000 tons of waste material containing about 7 tons of natural uranium in the Westlake landfill near the Missouri River at St. Charles Rock Road and Taussig Road, the Post-Dispatch study found. But K&B submitted invoices to Carter Corp of Canyon City, Colorado, saying it had dumped 40,000 tons of waste material in soil, said Carter's executive, David M. Marcotte. I suspect now that there was some hanky-panky going on, Marcotte asked when about the discrepancy. I've been taken for about $50,000 or $60,000. Marcotte has got the records. If B&K Vice President Robert S. Davis, if I, he says I billed him for that, then I did. When asked about the Post-Dispatch, by the Post-Dispatch, whether he actually dumped nearly 40,000 tons of fill material, Davis said, heck no, it wasn't nearly that much. But B&K's invoices, accepted as factual by the Atomic Energy Commission, were used as a factor in concluding that the waste had been sufficiently diluted in soil so that the agency's opinion, the fill was clearly harmless. This is where I start spitting nails, folks. This seriously infuriates me. I'm going to read this a little bit and let the moms. They stopped at off the road to take a little bathroom break right as we were getting on the show. So I told them I'd call them back about 5 minutes after the show started. And it was a car full of women. And Dawn Chapman didn't really have a headset. It's not illegal to drive with her phone to her face, but just to be advised, I've suggested that she put us on speakerphone, so we may have some static. And I don't know how long this will last. So I'm going to read another paragraph or two, and then I will give her a call back. This story is a complete indication of the lack of concern that the Atomic Energy Agency, the NRC, have towards human life. How they could allow this to happen right next to where over 300,000 people live is beyond me. Let me go back to this story. Now, this was written May 30th, 1976, folks. In addition to being wrong about the volume of waste, federal records are also wrong about its location. The AEC report said the material had been deposited in St. Louis Landfill No. 1 on Old Bridge Road. No such place exists. The B&K Vice President Davis confirmed that the material had gone to Westlake Landfill on St. Charles Road. St. Louis County Landfill No. 1 on Dorset Addies Road, more than 4 miles away. The Westlake Landfill was closed temporarily in 1974 for improvements because state officials found that certain pollutants were leaking from it into the surrounding floodplain soil. Listen to this, folks. This will make you spit nails. Listen to this next sentence. No test for radioactivity was made because officials were unaware that any radioactive materials were in the landfill. Before the improvements were made, it would have been impossible to put any hazardous waste in Westlake, said Joseph Agner, who runs the Missouri Hazardous Waste Program. The problem at Westlake may have been compounded by using the radioactive material as a daily cover for trash. That would subject the waste to rainwater and possibly of runoff. State officials said the radioactive waste posed no immediate health hazard because it was extremely weak and would be extremely diluted in the Missouri River, even if it were to reach the river. There is no evidence that radioactive waste did reach the weather. You know why, folks? Because they never tested. The waste material, according to the AEC records, consisted of 7 tons of natural uranium mixed with about 8,700 tons of barium sulfate, a powdery white substance. This waste and other material products were generated at a nuclear processing plant now closed that Mallinckrodt operated in Destrehan Street on St. Louis near the north side. Wow. Okay, let me give Dawn a call, and maybe that's given her enough time to make the pit stop that they needed to do. And we're 10 minutes into the show, so let me see if we can give her a call here. Let's see what happens. Is kind of like throwing a Hail Mary. We hope it works. At the time that Donna and I scheduled this, she was not aware they were going to have to run to the Capitol. So she called me this, or she sent me a text this morning and said, you know, we can talk, but I have to be on the road. So if this does not work, if it's too staticky or something doesn't happen, she and I will reschedule. This is so outrageous that this is happening.
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Dawn Chapman.
She's not
Not gonna
available.
happen. Hold on. I'll call her in a few minutes. I'll keep reading this article because this is so outrageous. Okay. Continued on page 4. Okay. The barium sulfate and other waste products originally were stored at Lambert Field. Later, some of them were moved to a site at 9200 Laddy Road, Hazelwood, in preparation for processing samples of the truckloads being sent to the landfill, but he acknowledged that they too could have been inaccurate. This is so outrageous. Federal authorities made no independent measurements of the strength of material and normally do not in cases like this, said a spokesman for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Relying on Carter's records, a federal inspector concluded that the concentration of uranium of the material dumped was 0.001%, well below the 0.05% limit by the regulation. So the NRC, the AEC, makes no effort to verify what they're being told. Right. A St. Louis environmental engineering firm, Reichman, Eggerly, Tomlinson and Associates, had been hired to monitor radiation levels at the site. But it also made no independent tests of the truckloads being sent to the landfill, said Philip Feeney, who worked on the project. Therefore, although Marcotte originally contended that all activities had been closely watched by his company, the engineering firm and the AEC, none of the three actually saw or tested the material B&K moved to the landfill. But the engineering firm later tested the Hazelwood site for radium and found it clean. AEC investigators did not find fault with one aspect of the disposal waste disposal. Wow. The agency reprimanded Carter Corp in a letter for diluting the waste with the 39,000 tons of soil. Ironically, the practice that apparently did not occur. Huh. Federal regulations prohibit the dilution of radioactive material to reduce the concentration so that the material would fall out of the 0.05% limit set for more stringent handling of the waste, the letter said. I don't know about you, but this is stunning to me, folks. This is 1976. This is how far back. And then to continue with this, I was actually looking for more of these stories, and the earliest story that I could find after that happened to be in 1979. So they buried this story for quite a long time. They actually did not do anything from 76 to 79, and then it went to 80, 81, and then it drops off like 82. The St. Louis Dispatch has been making an effort to report on this. 82, 83, 84. I mean, 87, 88. How long do they have to keep reporting before? And the people in St. Louis have just been conditioned to believe. We're just conditioned to believe that the government was handling it. Things were fine. There was development going around up there. Houses were being built. I mean, I don't know how much more stunned everybody else is, but I was stunned that our government is doing absolutely nothing regarding the Westlake landfill. So then after 1992, it looks like the St. Louis Dispatch did another post that was picked up very widely across the country by about 5 or 6 stories. And maybe this is why, because it's a so-called happy story. So I'm gonna call Dawn in about 5 minutes. Maybe she's realized she can't really talk on the phone and do this. We should have probably rescheduled. If I can't get in touch with her, I'll call her up later and reschedule. When we were on the phone earlier, I suggested that she just hand the phone to several of the other moms so that, you know, they could talk. But this is the interesting thing. A lot of these people do not want to talk because they you know, they're in litigation, they're talking to their lawyers. It's actually very interesting, the mind fuck that goes on with these people. They are going to the state capitol to demand action on the Westlake landfill. And yet many of them don't want to speak out publicly on the airwaves because they have litigation going on. They have things happening. So, and a lot of times it's just too stressful. It's too anxiety making. They have to live with it. They don't want to have to keep talking about it. So let me share with you this story and let me give you a background of how this was laid out on the page, because it is very interesting how it was laid out on page one, where it happened to be. On the story in 1976, it hit page one, front and center, the big, big everywhere, right? Now we have the dispatch, April 9th, 1992. The big story is Arthur Ashe, I have AIDS. Clinton sides with strike workers at Caterpillar. That's big, big ads. Then story about Palestinians cheer rescue at Arafat. Straight talk from Dolly Parton. East St. Louis blazes, and there's a big picture of a big fire of a house over here on East St. Louis. In between this story about the Westlake landfill, it's in between two stories. House votes for control of pay to fund lawyers. And then there's a story to the right of it. It's called Belly. Alcohol's role in body fat is described. Underneath it, colds. Antihistamines can do harm, experts testify. Wow. And then they have a picture below it of a little boy that says, boy's dislike of vegetables spurs him to a second grade reward. Wow, that is so annoying. This little boy won the second prize at the 45th Greater St. Louis Science Fair. Now listen to this story. This is unbelievable. Nuclear Commission wants cleanup here, by Tom Uhlenbrock of the Post-Dispatch staff. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has included Westlake Landfill in St. Louis as a list of radioactive sites nationwide where contamination is serious and cleanup efforts have been lagging. The commission issued a list of 46 such locations and called for a cleanup of sites, hopefully within 3 years. This story is 1992. We're in 2016. The commission has issued a list of 46 locations. This is so unbelievable, and called up for a cleanup of the site. Wow. Local environmentalists said the commission's actions could force the Energy Department to include Westlake in its plans to clean up other radioactively contaminated sites in the St. Louis area. Kay Dry, a University City environmentalist, has argued all along that Westlake should be included in the department's plans. It's an illegal site, she said. It has never been licensed. Therefore, they've sort of ignored it. Wow. This is certainly a step in the right direction for them to come out and say this site has to be cleaned up. This is astounding. This is, I don't know what to say about this. I don't know how anybody else here feels about this, but this is so inhumane for our government to take this position, to just watch our fellow citizens live near a nuclear dump site that has been ignored since 1976. It was first reported in 76. And people are dying right now as we speak. Families are in constant pain, constant harm. Wow. Well, let me see. There are plenty of stories from the St. Louis Dispatch going up to 2000, 2001. Here's a story, 2012. Wow. Let's take a look at this. See where we're at in 2012. That's 2 years ago, or well, I guess now, gosh, almost 5 years ago. There's a picture of it showing the contamination. It looks like a big mound of dirt, folks. It doesn't look like anything. Wow, this is so amazing. This was written by Jeffrey Tomich. Almost 4 years after federal regulators approved a plan to cover Cold War era nuclear waste at a Bridgeton landfill, they're weighing much more extensive cleanup options that involve excavating tons of contaminated soil. The Environmental Protection Agency, which is overseeing the cleanup of the Westlake landfill, said it is studying a 1,400-page supplemental study of two cleanup alternatives. Let me see if I can get in touch with Dawn. Maybe she knows a lot about this. Let me give her a call again. Let me see if this will happen. Oh, let me see. I think I have to put the number in again. Thank you for bearing with me. I think that Dawn must have just been too busy. And we should have probably rescheduled. I had no idea this was going on with her this morning. And let me see if we can get her in on this. Maybe she's decided it's too dangerous for her to talk and drive. They're on their way to the state capitol. I have a feeling it's going to go straight to voicemail. I'm just giving you the FYI. Let's see what it does. Yay! Hi, Dawn.
Hello.
Here you are.
Hi. Hey, Lonnie.
Thank you for joining us. So you know what I've been doing is I dug up on newspapers.com. I was researching to see when was the earliest story that I could find on the Westlake landfill. And
oh,
I found,
yes,
May 30th, 1976 is the first time I think I saw it mentioned.
Is that Post-Dispatch?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they were good.
Yeah, well, this is the sad part, is they've all been co-opted. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this story, but it is stunning about the lying that went on. I mean, they said, the guy says, well, I suspect there's some hanky-panky going on. They said that KB Construction deposited about, in 1973, about 9,000 tons of material waste containing 7 tons of natural uranium. But KB submitted invoices to Cotter Corp that it had dumped 40,000 tons of material in soil.
Well, and I think that that's really important because that is where the myth was born. You know,
right.
For anybody to say they know what the hell's at Westlake landfill, I'm going to call them a damn liar.
That is actually
because
true.
Because that's what they're doing. Nobody knows what's at Westlake landfill because the perpetrators all made up different stories to keep from getting in trouble. And one of those stories out of probably 30 stuck. And that's
right.
Where we are today.
What number did they say was dumped there? Do you know?
Well, now it was like 8,400 tons mixed with clean fill dirt. And then they came back and said, well, no, obviously the dirt wasn't clean because it came from a site off a laddie that stored this waste. So, no, the whole goddamn site was contaminated. And even after the waste was dumped in the top layer of soil, they had to go back in and clean the site after that because it was a mess. So,
yeah,
that's
exactly what it says. The problem at Westlake may have been compounded by using the radioactive material as a daily cover for trash.
Uh-huh. Right. It was put – there was no set place to put this. It was put wherever the hell they felt like they needed to put it, depending on what was going on at the dump that day. And then the funny thing is, you know – supposedly, let's put the supposedly in, nobody knew this was contaminated soil. It was dumped and they lied about it. They would have taken it anywhere. It could be anywhere on that site. And frankly, it could be off site because
right.
Landfills accepted, I mean, clean fill dirt for them was like gold. But they also, back then, you could go to a landfill. If you needed dirt to fill in something in your yard, you could go to a landfill. And they would charge you, but then you could go pick up their dirt.
Oh, my gosh. So families could have gone to the landfill, taken the dirt home, and just spread radioactivity all over their own yards unknowingly.
Who knows? That's right. And that is, you know.
Oh, wow.
So when you're talking about contamination in St. Louis, you know, you're talking about first-degree contamination, then second-degree, then third-degree, then fourth-degree, and then possibly fifth, sixth. When you leave it secret this long and this kind of hanky-panky goes on and nobody gets to the bottom of it for 40 years, you do. You have contamination that could go on and on and on and on. You know, somebody maybe wanted to build a garden. Maybe they wanted to do an addition. I mean,
They could have exported it to other states. They could have
right.
sold it. I mean, this is so unbelievable. There's a paragraph in here that says the Westlake landfill was closed temporarily in 1974 for improvements because state officials found that certain pollutants were leaking from it into the surrounding floodplain. No tests
Hello.
were No test for radioactivity was made because officials were unaware that any radioactive materials were in the landfill.
Right. And then so what you have there is you have, even though they didn't test for radioactive waste, you have a site that houses horrific chemicals that already has a history of leaking. I mean, so we already know that that's not the place you want to store anything, because this isn't a site that's able to contain material. So why the hell they haven't tested the floodplain in Earth City for rad waste in the 40 years that they've known it's been there is beyond me. I mean, this is what you're seeing here is the fear factor of finding out just how bad this site is. Everybody's afraid of Westlake. It's a sleeping giant. They don't know how big it is, and you're afraid to open a hole. You're afraid to dig a hole because you don't know what you're going to find. So even now, as we go down to Jeff City and testify for a bill to move these people out and get them out of harm's way, this is part of the reason. Because you know what? For once in everybody's life, in the history of the nuclear program and the cleanup, can we just put people first?
Thank you.
Can we just put people first, people over profit, people over embarrassment, whatever, and say, get them out of there? Because no matter what is at Westlake, to get to it, to even figure it out, and to clean it and do whatever you're going to do, you're going to disturb the ground. And they live right there. I mean, let's just get them out of the way, and then let's really do what we have to do to figure out the scope of this problem.
That's exactly right. Like, this is the issue. I mean, with the Price-Anderson Act, none of them are going to go to jail. They don't really get charged that much money. So really, they just need to admit that this is a huge error and people need to be moved to safety, period, no matter what.
That's right. You know,
If somebody had dropped a bomb in St. Louis, if a bomb was dropped on here by a foreign agency or some perpetrator who hated our government, and people were placed in a position of being exposed to this, they would be moved in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
Well, not only that, but if we dropped a bomb, look what we did to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and boy, we went over there and helped clean it up.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, they're probably cleaner than we are at this point, which is really, really sad that they don't take that initiative. And I think a lot of it is embarrassment, and you're going back to the nuclear industry. You know, there's talk about starting the program and building up our arsenal when this stuff is still sitting here. And that, they're afraid of that to some extent. They're afraid to admit how bad it is or even go the extra mile to figure it out, because all of a sudden – this stuff, it gets scary once again. There was a time when it was really scary, obviously, because they were illegally dumping it everywhere because they didn't know what to do with it. We're still having that same discussion.
Well, they're probably doing the same practices in other areas. I mean, let's be clear. They're not going to – I mean, they have no accountability. They can do exactly what they want to do.
Well, sick thing is no matter who touches it, so the longer it goes – without being discovered and other entities come in and touch it, the check gets split once again. So it's actually in the corporation's best interest that others touch this shit, because suddenly it's less expensive for them.
So, Dawn, why don't you introduce to our listeners who you are and where you're going and the women that are involved with you, and talk about the imposition that this poses. I mean, aside from the health effect, just to get remediation, get moved to find some equity, what it's costing your families.
Well, my name is Dawn Chapman. I'm one of the co-founders of Just Moms STL. I'm a resident that lives next to a nuclear weapons site. That's also a Superfund site. It's about a little less than 2 miles from my home. I'm in a car right now with five other moms, one of whom it's their birthday. And we are, I know, we are, it's Kristen's birthday, and we are on our way to our capital, our state capital, Jefferson City, to testify for a bill, SB 22, on the Senate side that would give the residents within a mile and a half of the site the option to relocate voluntarily. They could sell their homes back to the state, who could then seek reimbursement from the federal government, but it's a way to get them out. The other thing that it does that we're pretty happy about is it makes it so that if you have nuclear waste in your home, which one of those homes up there now has had it confirmed thorium above 1,000 times above cleanup level in their kitchen of their home, they have to legally disclose that. And so, you know, this bill, it doesn't do anything for the cleanup of the site, but what it does is it puts people first. It basically says enough is enough, get these people out of there, and then figure out what you're going to do with the site, which, in our opinion, sets a really important precedent that we don't see too much of, which is people first, which is let's get our head out of our you-know-where and get on the same page that this stuff is not good for people, been found in their homes now. Let's give them the option to get to safety. If they want to stay, they can stay. This isn't forcing them to get, you know, it's everybody has a decision to make, but it puts that decision back where it belongs, which is in the hands of the residents whose lives are affected by this material.
So ironic, because this material was created and made to protect Americans, right? That was the theory behind the whole thing.
Right.
We need to have this to protect Americans. And now, instead of managing it and protecting Americans, from start to finish, the entire government process, it seems like, for all these many years, have just been ignoring the needs of the people. So I'm very proud of the work that you've done, Donna. As an American, I can't tell you how much I'm proud of all of you for having the courage. Like, the families of St. Louis have really taught me a great lesson of what it means to be an American and the stick-with-itness that it takes. Like, how far is Jefferson City to where you live? Like, how far are you guys traveling today? How long will this take to get there and back?
I can't tell you how many miles, but it's 10:30 and we're about 5 minutes out. But we left at about 8:30, so it took us about 2 hours. And, of course, you know, my husband's taken off half a day so he can be there for the kids when they get off the bus. You know, Kieran's getting a sitter for hers. You know, Kristen, it's her birthday and she's doing this.
Wow.
You know, missing work. Megan, the same thing with Megan, and she's got her little boy Trevor and her boy Mason. So, I mean, it is, you know, we've got more people that are going down there too. It is a tremendous, it's a tremendous drain on your everyday life. It's a financial drain. It's an emotional drain, because of course we're all in the car writing down what we're going to say. And I mean, you're pleading to people who really have no idea what's going on. You know, you're looking for that one phrase, always that one phrase that's just going to grab them and touch them and break through politics as usual. And, you know, it's, and of course, you know, you also have the other side of that, which is there's going to be a line drawn. If this bill passes, there's a line drawn. People on one side can sell their homes. People on the other can't. And anytime you have that, you have people that are like, well, why wasn't I included? Expand it. And it's just, it's, we understand that no matter where we go with this bill, there's going to be people that are angry at us personally for even going here. And, you know, a lot of what's going on for the listeners at our site's also on fire. It's been burning for 7 years. So there's emissions and all kinds of crap. You know, our own health department from our state issues a warning once a week that sensitive individuals should avoid the odor and emissions from this site. And, you know, our issue is, you know, that's a recommendation from the top health officials from the state of Missouri. These people that we're going down to testify for, they live less than half a mile from the site. This gets inside their home.
Right.
They can't. They do not have the option to even take that recommendation, because where are they supposed to go? So,
right.
I mean,
if they close their windows, it's going to come into there. This is the thing. This is how it works. It doesn't matter. The doors don't keep out.
Right.
The windows don't keep out the most harmful.
Nope.
Well, not only that, but I imagine that many of your families there are dealing with medical conditions that that the doctors are twisting like pretzels to deny is caused by this toxin. I mean,
absolutely.
It isn't, you know, my niece went to took her kids in California. They had a flu or some kind of bug when she traveled, and she said, "Do you think any of this could be caused by, Fukushima radiation?" She's all paranoid about it. The doctor literally told her not to ask about it, that there was not any place in America that is under threat from nuclear radioactivity.
And
That
that's the frustrating thing is that and your first instinct is to trust your doctor because they know they go to school forever. But then you find out, Lonnie, as I know you know, but maybe the listeners don't, there have been real studies for chronic long-term exposure to even low-level radioactive waste.
That's right.
Those studies don't exist. So keep in mind for the listeners that when your doctor's telling you this, that's a hypothesis.
Well,
And there are
actually,
many,
that's not true
you know?
because very recently, Dr. Chris Busby, he won his case in England based on his new research that they conducted about, I think he said a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, that shows that the hypotheses, the low-level radioactive contamination hypotheses, the basis behind all of it was based on basically fabricated information that was all jimmy-rigged. And so he won his case proving that how they've been using their standards for acceptable low-level waste is all based on lies. So I would encourage you, if you don't know about Dr. Chris Busby, to
No.
look him up. In fact, I can put you in touch with him, and you guys can talk to him. You can st he has scientific studies that were accepted in England in the court of law, and he's testifying for the USS Reagan soldiers
Oh,
on
yeah.
this. Yes, and he is actually a very well respected. He has been after this. I just conducted an interview with him that will play at the end of this month. It is, in fact, you can listen to Libby Halevy's Nuclear Hot Seat
Oh, we
radio
love
program
Levy.
from the last week. She did an interview about this. He wants this information to get out because they did not. The USS Reagan soldiers, the courts voted against him, but in England he did win the case. So there is hope, but there is scientific studies that this low-level radioactive waste is
Right.
harmful. And the basis of how we look at it, again, just like at Westlake, it's all been based on lies. Like they said, they buried 9,000, 40,000. I mean, what a stretch from 9,000 to 40,000. What is it? You know what I mean?
Right, which one?
Right, that's a huge number in between, and it's not like even 9,000 is even a decent number, right? Like, that's still a big bad number. So,
Well, it is, and what people don't know, but you probably do, and I'm sure people can guess, is that what was dumped, and then now the sum total of the amount that's contaminated after 40 years. I mean, you have a banana peel that sits in radioactive waste. Well, guess what? That becomes radioactive.
that's right.
You know,
That's right.
so it's that's the other issue is that, it may have been dumped, and that may be the amount that it was, but that the problem is much worse than it was 40 years ago, and it will continue to be that way. That won't change. It's 10 years from now, it'll be worse and more expensive.
That's right. That's
You
exactly
know,
right. That, well,
these problems don't get better on their own.
is there anything our listeners could do to support you? Do you suggest that any of us can do anything? Would it help? We don't even live in your state. Would that matter if we were to contact your state legislators? Is there anything we can do?
Well, I think that because you don't live in our state, I mean, I would say every little phone call helps, but really, it's on the federal level. I would love for some of these other moms that are listening right now that are in other states that have either gone through something similar or are to reach out to us. I think that on a federal level, we all need to get together, reach out, and maybe have a Washington, D.C. week where we go up, you talk to yours, I'll talk to mine, we'll go hit a few together. And we need to start making this the national issue that it really is. I mean, this is happening at Westlake, but Westlake is an example of one site out of how many across this nation. And
Well,
until we make this a national issue, unfortunately, they break it up. Oh, well, that's just going on in St. Louis. Thank God it's not going on in my state. That's what some of these elected officials think.
Part of it is, the only, I mean, really, it was the fire that really brought it to everybody's attention. So what happens is,
right.
I don't know any other location in the country where there's an organized fight, really, to even expose the harm being caused by their families. Like, I know up in Hanford in Richland, where families are being harmed. Like, they had 2 years ago, 32 microcephaly babies in 1 year. The DOE came in, had their experts, and in less than 3 months concluded that it was not caused by Hanford. No possible way. Don't worry about it. And the people up in that area, frankly, it's ixnay. You cannot say anything against the nuclear industry because they're all related to making money there. So there's so much social pressure to just accept it so we can have a decent way of life and don't worry about it because our medical industry can handle whatever negative effects it causes.
Well, so, and you know, as worried as I am about Westlake, to hear you say that these groups are not coming together and that people are not taking this into their own hands, that makes me even more nervous, Lonnie, because I'm not sure, I might lose you here. I'm going into a parking garage.
Okay.
I hope not. But that makes me even more nervous because do they really think that people are not going to, you know, that they're going to be taken care of without public pressure and eyeballs on it?
No, and actually what's going to happen is, I mean, maybe that's another project I had to put on my list and put it out there and try to find people and maybe organize here on the West Coast. Because there has to be mothers who are concerned who have been engaged up there. Like Heidi Lambert, for example, she grew up near, her dad worked at Hanford. She knows all about Hanford. She interviewed with me. We formed a nonprofit group here called No Nukes Northwest. Maybe we'll start a chapter and try to organize. In fact, I think I'll do that. I'll talk to the directors of the No Nukes Northwest organization. The three of us are on it, and maybe that's a part of organization we need to organize and find moms, put out ads, and try to find families who believe they have been harmed by the nuclear industry out here in the Northwest. Because we have, Mimi Gurman found out that at the Trojan nuclear dump site here in Oregon, when they closed it down, the workers were so angry that they just cut the machines up and put them in the river.
God.
Yeah. So now the mouth of the Columbia River is one of the largest dead zones in the country. So
it's not very many people. At least I've never heard of that. I mean, I just... Right.
Well, we never heard of Westlake either. So, you
right.
know what I mean? I started this radio show with no idea about Westlake, and it was only because I was researching things to look into and to report to the listeners, because my focus is about exposing the lies of the nuclear industry.
Right.
That's why I was kind of Johnny-come-lately, because I haven't been an activist. I'm like you guys. I didn't even start this journey till 3 years ago, and I'm grateful to have met you, because honestly, I think the public pressure will help you. Just the public
well,
pressure.
Well, and I think even that story, I think that it is the story of the mom and the people like yourself that didn't set out in life to be what they ended up having to be. Nobody plans a journey like this. It just kind of happens. And I think that maybe if people didn't feel like they were so alone, maybe more people would feel like they had the strength enough to start this journey.
You know what? That's a very good point, because, you know, you nor I, and we have had to really educate ourselves. And I had this part of this conversation with Dr. Busby also, like, you know, people that are freaking out over Fukushima don't even know about Westlake Landfill. But, and, you know, we hear that Pacific's ocean's dying. Well, we were all just citizen journalists who had no concept of what this was. This isn't
That's
our
right.
responsibility. And so it's easy for those of us who have not been a basis in science to really comprehend it. You know, I'm just now, after 3 years, beginning to comprehend how this stuff works. And
well,
so
and I think that that's the thing, is that the world will tell you, elected officials will tell you, that you better know all your stuff before you get involved. You better know the science. And the truth is that, no, that's not the case. We don't have to know everything to be able to say, hey, our kids are being harmed.
Thank you.
You know, and I think that is why so many people don't want to get involved, or they say, you know, I don't have a degree, I never graduated college, you know, I have to have that degree before I throw a fit about this. And I'm like, no, you don't. You never need a degree to advocate for your kids or your community. That's ridiculous.
That's right. And this is advocating for your children and your community. And this is the thing. It's not like we want to blame anybody. We're not, you know, like, I'm not interested in, you know, getting out the guillotines with these people. But what we want is remediation. We want families to be made whole again, responsibly.
Well, and, you know, I'm going to straighten the car out. Sorry.
That's all right. You can just
Debbie's
ignore
gonna,
me.
Debbie's going to do it. Debbie's going to do it for me.
Okay.
Hopefully your listeners understand.
We should have rescheduled. I should have, you know, had called and rescheduled. I apologize for not following up yesterday.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think it's more real this way. You know, let the listeners know we're in a parking garage in our Capitol with a big mommy vehicle, because that's all we could fit everyone in, and we're doing what we can.
After driving 2 hours.
This is what life looks like. You schedule an interview, and then you get a phone call that this bill's getting a hearing early, which is a great thing. And we don't have the option always to, oh, hang on, Deb. Let me straighten it out. I'll straighten it out. It's a little close on that side now. Yeah, it's the ridiculous thing about a Buick is it's wider than it looks.
Women driving love it.
Well, and you know, saving our kids and also trying not to get our cars dinged at the same time. Priorities, right?
How many hearings have you gone to at the state capitol? How many times have you done this thing? How many times would you say you've done this?
A lot. And, you know, just a lot of educating and just a lot of, you know, because I don't know if the listeners know or not, but we actually have called an AstroTurf campaign. We have a group that's paid for by one of the responsible parties that's actually against us that's lobbying for, you know, they're lobbying against anything, huh? Okay. So anyway, that's, you know, we're fighting quite a bit here.
So you're telling me that one of the opposite parties hires lobbyists and hires people to go out into the community to tell everybody that you're completely crazy, this is no big deal?
Oh, absolutely. They hired another mom from rural Missouri who's a Republican her name is Molly Teichman. They're called the Coalition to Keep Us Safe to lobby against us. They are paid. She has admitted they are paid by the company to stop any efforts to clean up the site. I mean, it's ridiculous. She has a blog. We've had to block her on Twitter because she's just nasty as they come. Yep, you're going down and over. It's, you know, we have a lot of hoops to jump through. So, all right, well, we are almost there.
Well, look, Donna, let you go. I appreciate this. The next time we talk, I hope that you'll become a friend of the show and we can keep getting this out. I am going to take your suggestion, you know, since I'm a director of No Nukes Northwest, I'm going to propose this at our next board meeting that we make a serious campaign to organize the nuclear victim moms here out on the Northwest, because we know there's many of them. I know Heidi Lambert's dad died from cancer. Her whole family has had serious issues. So it's one of the things that we talk about all the time. It's why she keeps speaking out. She's like you. She's just a mom. She's just out there speaking out because it's outrageous. So,
well, and I think that's what we need. I mean, this is, Westlake is a serious issue, and Westlake can be used and is an example of when you just leave this stuff out here for this many years, of course bad stuff's going to happen.
So,
you know, I mean, you can't do that.
Well, where's even the, if you leave it out there for, you know, you can't leave it out there for a month. You know what I mean? It's still bad.
No, and for 40 years. So, I mean, but yeah, I think that's what I would tell the listeners is if there are any other moms out there, please reach out to us. You know, we have a Facebook page. We have a website. You know, Ani, you can give them my number and we can talk. There has to be other people in other states. We have to make this one big issue.
That's a Excellent suggestion. That's my takeaway from today's conversation. Thank you, Don Chapman. Your Facebook page is the Westlake Landfill.
That's right. And we also, if you're uncomfortable with the Facebook page, we do have a group, which is Just Moms STL on Facebook. We have a website, justmomsstl.org. And you can get in touch with us, leave us a message, and we'll call you. And, you know, I really hope somebody out there that's listening, you know, you're not by yourself. At least if you are, you don't need to be.
Thank you, Dawn, for joining us. I really appreciate the effort you made this morning. I'm sorry to put you through this while you're trying to organize your thoughts and get going. I'll let you go a little bit early. I imagine the meeting starts in 10 minutes.
It's noon, but we're going to get there early because we've got media and we've got to get our thoughts together and whatnot. So.
Yeah, good idea. And it's five of you there?
Yeah, but there'll be about 15 total.
That's awesome. Well, look, I'll let you go. I appreciate you giving us this time. I will be in touch with you later so we can reschedule a follow-up. And I'm going to take some action and make your suggestion come real, at least here on the Northwest, and start organizing. And I'll be calling you on the apart from this radio show to get some tips on the best way to do that. So I really appreciate your efforts.
That sounds great. And then we'll let you know how it goes.
Please do, and good luck today. Let's hope they decide in favor of the citizens of the Westlake Landfill of pass this bill and get some families at least remediated.
Fingers crossed, prayers said, and good thoughts sent. Let's hope so.
Yeah, eyes to the sky. You take care, Don.
All right, thanks, Lonnie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was an interesting interview, wasn't it? Organizing other families. So I don't know how far this reaches across the United States, but I think that's a good suggestion. That thought had not even occurred to me. So this is what it takes. It takes victims who are attempting to desperately get remediation to reach out and attempt to organize. And now is the time for us to organize. So if anybody's out there listening and you know of any other family victims in any other parts of the state, you can send me an email, a direct email to my email address at nutsforart, NutsForArt, at Gmail, or you can connect with nonukesnorthwest.org. And we do have an email address, no nukes. And it's nonukesnorthwest.org is nonukesnw.org. So it's not Northwest. The spelling out of Northwest is Chuck Johnson's website. And if you're looking for our website on the Facebook, on the internet, there happens to be a person who used that name before we became a formal nonprofit, and she started a website called nonukesnorthwest.org. So that pops up. It says a WordPress site. So if you're looking for us at nonukesnorthwest.org, you will scroll down. Usually, from what I've seen on the Googles, we're like four or five down since it's a new website. The beginning of our page has a picture. You'll know you're on our right page because we show you a beautiful picture of the Northwest Forest, and it really says the no nukes, that Northwest says no to no nukes. That's our opening page. Scroll down, you'll see a picture of the three directors, Mimi Gurman, Heidi Lambert, and myself there. Anybody who has any ideas on how to organize with the moms or families, and we can expand this out to any families. I mean, maybe we need to expand this picture out, because this is how they're getting away with it. No one's talking about it. Nobody's organizing. Nobody's demanding. It's just, business as usual. We're just letting the truck roll over us. Well, it's time for us to roll out of the, you know, start rescuing each other. We need to start organizing, and especially with the Trump nation headed in, we really do need to dig in our heels, organize, and get active so that we can hang on to the democracy that we have in our country and help our people get well from 70 years of nuclear lies. 70 years of nuclear lies has happened. This story, written in 1976, indicates exactly the level of lack of integrity and it is generated because we have a war machine that wants this nuclear waste without regard. We're considered fodder. We are considered cannon fodder. We're considered, what do they call that in the service? I forget the term that they use, where the unintended consequences, like, oh, well, sorry about that. I saw a story this morning on Twitter from the, I follow the nuclear industry on Twitter, and they put out an ad that said, we're looking for writers to write stories about the beautiful, the wonderful things the nuclear industry is doing, about our new plants and our new possibilities. And I wrote back, I tweeted back and said, what about the waste that is now leaking into our water supply? The ongoing, accumulating nuclear waste. So here we have, is it 9,000 tons or 40,000 tons? The United States government allowed it to be 40,000 tons and said that's no big deal. And then when they found out that the material was being used to cover the trash, they made no effort guaranteed to find out who had taken that. They went through no records to see who had taken that waste, the landfill dirt from the waste. So maybe that's another takeaway from today's interview, folks. Don't go to the dump to get your landfill waste because you never know what you're putting in your backyard. It is such an outrage. I don't know about you guys, but man, this just makes me spit nails. And I have to say, this is where I love literature. Thank God for Lao Tzu, you know. Listen to this. This is number 26 from The Way of Life, Lao Tzu. The Way of Life, according to Lao Tzu, translated by Witter Bynner. We have about 2 minutes left. Number 26. Gravity is the root of grace, the mainstay of all speed. A traveler of true means, whatever the day's pace, remembers the provision van, and, however fine the prospect be offered, is a man with a calm head. What lord of countless chariots would ride them in vain, would make himself a fool of the realm with a pace beyond rein, speed beyond helm? I thought that was quite appropriate when you think about this. What lord of countless chariots would ride them in vain, would make himself a fool of the realm, with pace beyond rein, speed beyond helm? That's exactly what our nuclear industry has done. Speed beyond helm, pace beyond rein. The nuclear waste is a technology. The nuclear, whole entire nuclear industry, 70 years, they have inadequately attempted to address the nuclear industry. Because until you deal with the waste, the nuclear energy industry is a toxic, destructive mess. It has nothing good to offer humanity. You can't just pile your shit up in one tank and then leave it there and then go to the next one and then go to the next one. That's exactly what they've done. Pace beyond rein, speed beyond helm. So I thought that was quite timely. I'm actually glad I had a chance to read that poem. So thank you for joining us. You have been listening to Lonnie Clark, the Age of Fission radio show. We had a Dawn Chapman from the Westlake Landfill, the Just Moms STL. They have a website, Just Moms STL. If anybody's listening and you want to organize, please contact me through No Nukes Northwest, nonukesnw.org. And I really appreciate that. Put your courage feet on, take some action. Thank you for joining us. Please spread the word, share this program, share this station.
Anti-Media Radio